that says you must be born again. That there's got to come a time, there's a moment in your life where you make a decision that you say, I am trusting in Jesus, I am giving my life to Him, and I am converted from death to life. So do we believe that? Do we teach that? Yes, okay, so we believe in a conversion experience. It is a church that believes in the authority of the Bible as God's revelation. So believes that the Bible has, that God has made Himself known through the Bible, and that the Bible is God's word, God's authoritative word to us. Do we believe that? Yes, okay, so we believe those things. Finally, it is a church that teaches the importance of spreading the gospel. Okay, do we teach that? Yes, okay, so those things are the things that define, that is what an evangelical Christian church is. That is who we are as a church. So the vast majority of people who regularly attend an evangelical Christian church understand that they have a personal responsibility to share the gospel. It's like 80%. 80% of people who regularly attend our kind of church, who regularly attend a church like the Crossroads, 80%. Now, I don't know who the other 20% are. It's like, how did you miss this somewhere along the way? But 80% of you say, yes, we understand that we have a personal responsibility to share the gospel with other people. Not only that, but nearly 75% of us say that we feel comfortable in our ability to share the gospel. So 3/4 of people who attend an evangelical Christian church say, I know that I'm supposed to do it, and I know how to do it. I've been equipped, I've been taught, I understand, I feel comfortable with my ability to share the gospel. And yet, over 2/3 of us have not told one person about Jesus in the past 6 months. We say we understand we're supposed to do it. We say that we feel comfortable doing it, that we know how to do it, and yet over 2/3 of us have not told one solitary person about Jesus in the past 6 months. Not only that, nearly 50% of us have not even invited an unchurch person to church. So 2/3 of us haven't told anybody about Jesus. Half of us haven't even invited somebody, haven't just said to somebody, hey, this is the church I go to, here's a card, I'd love for you to come and visit us sometime. Nearly 50% of us. Ed Stetzer, who is the director of the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College, said, many evangelical Christians seem to love evangelism as long as somebody else is doing it. Many evangelical Christians seem to love evangelism as long as somebody else is doing it. So why is that? Why is it that we believe the gospel? That we understand our personal responsibility, that I, as an individual follower of Jesus Christ, I have a responsibility to share the gospel. That not only that, we feel comfortable, or at least we say we feel comfortable in our ability to share the gospel. That we know how to do it, and yet we never do it. You know, we can talk to people about all sorts of things. We can talk to people about the weather. We can talk to people about our favorite sports team. We can talk about the Cowboys all day long. We can talk about our favorite TV shows. We can talk about clothes and fashions. We can talk about our kids' activities. We can talk about problems in our community, frustration with our kids' schools or teachers, the latest viral video on YouTube. We can talk about our hobbies, our jobs, but we never get around to talking to people about the most important thing in all the world. How can that be? We don't talk to people about eternity. We don't talk to people about salvation. We don't talk to people about forgiveness, about heaven and hell, and about belief in God and about Jesus Christ. Why not? And maybe more importantly, why doesn't that bother us? Like why doesn't it cause us some feeling of angst that we know we should do it, we know how to do it, and we don't do it? That wasn't Paul's attitude about sharing the gospel. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. Look at what Paul says there. 1 Corinthians 9:16, if you want to grab a Bible, you can turn there. If you've got your phone and you've got our app on your phone, you can log in there and you'll have the scriptures there in front of you. You've also got a worship guide with the scriptures on them, or it's going to be on the screen behind me. So a lot of ways for you to interact with God's Word today. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am," what? "Compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Now, I think most translations, in fact, all the ones that I've looked at this week, do us a disservice when it comes to this verse, when it translates this as "preach the gospel." The word "preach" doesn't appear anywhere in this passage. Paul's not talking about a pastor standing on a stage or standing at an event or something like that, proclaiming, preaching the Word of God. It's the normal word for evangelism that Paul uses here. Most translations gives you the idea that Paul's talking about the task of a pastor or preacher or missionary, but the word is the word euangelizo, from which we get our word evangelism, which simply means to declare the gospel. So Paul's not talking about the activity of a pastor, preacher, missionary. He's talking about the activity of a Christian in sharing the gospel with other people. And Paul says, "Woe to me if I don't tell other people about Jesus." That's all he's talking about there. Paul says, "I am compelled to tell other people the good news. I am compelled to tell other people the good news about Jesus, and woe to me, misery. I am a miserable person," he says, "if I am not telling other people the good news about Jesus." You see, Paul understood the importance of the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew at first and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel because I understand what it does. I understand what it is. I understand it's the only way for lives to be transformed. It's the only way for people to be forgiven. It's the only way for people to be saved. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Sadly, by our lack of telling it to other people, most evangelical Christians would have to say, "I am ashamed of the gospel. I am ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed to tell other people the good news." Why don't we tell? If we know that we should, 80% of us say we know, we understand, I have a personal responsibility to share the gospel. If we know that we should, if we know how, 75% of us say, I feel comfortable with my ability to share the gospel with other people. Then why don't we? In my experience, and by the way, personally, I go through seasons where I go, man, it's been a while since I talked to somebody about Jesus. And I feel the burden of that. I feel the angst of that. When I start to feel that, those are the mornings that I get up and I go, I've got to go somewhere and find some way to talk to somebody about Jesus. Like I have to intentionally figure out a way to put myself in a position where I can start a faith conversation, where I can start a conversation about God, about the Creator, about sin, about life, about something that's going to give me an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. So why don't we? Well, in my experience, when I am not being active in sharing my faith and my experience with other believers, there are 8 common reasons why we don't tell. And that's what we're going to walk through today. First one is spiritual stagnation. Spiritual stagnation. One of the most common reasons we are not active in sharing the good news with other people is because we are not growing spiritually. Like if you have stagnated in your walk of faith, if you have stagnated in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are not actively spending time in the Word of God daily, if it's not transforming your heart, if there's not a fire that's kindling inside of you, if it's not a passion that you have for Jesus, if there's not a just overwhelming joy of what Jesus does in your life and how He's working in your life and He's showing you things, if we're not growing in our faith relationship, growing in our passion for Jesus, growing in our joy for knowing Him and following Him, and if that's not happening, then we're not going to be sharing our faith. And because we're not active in growing our faith, we're not active in sharing our faith. When your spiritual life is stagnating, when your faith is not a vital part of the way you live your life and the things you do and the way you go about life, when you're not seeing God do things in your life daily, when you don't have fresh stories of how God is at work or things that God is showing you in the Word, then you're going to be less likely to have a fire to tell other people because you're going to have fewer things to tell them about. There's going to be fewer things that's igniting that in your life. Listen, if you have a friendship with someone for very long, you tell them about the people that are important in your life. When you have a friendship, when you get to know somebody, when you get to connect with them, then the people who are important in your life, the relationships are important in your life, they come out in your everyday conversation with them. Like if you've been friends with someone for 6 months, it's not a compliment when they say to you, "Man, I didn't even know you were married." Like, that's not a compliment, okay? If you have never at any point talked about your relationship with your spouse, like, "Man, I didn't know you had any kids," that's not good. In the same way, if you've been friends with someone longer than about a month and they go, "Man, I didn't know you went to church," that's not a compliment. It's not a good thing if they don't know that God's a part of your life, a serious part of your everyday life, of your relationships, of the way you handle life, of the way you go about doing things. It should come out in your life. And if you are spiritually active and growing, it is going to come out. So grow in your faith. Grow in your faith through spending time in the Word of God daily, spending time in prayer, worshiping God. Listen to worship music. Like, get you a jam, whatever your jam is, that you know, man, as I listen to those things, that's going to stir my affections and stir my heart for Jesus and do that. Find Christian books to read. Listen, if you want me to give you some examples, read The Insanity of God. How many times have I told you that this year? Let that fuel your life. Get plugged in with a journey group with other believers where you can grow and they can challenge you and they can challenge your faith. Do those things that are going to grow your spiritual life. Because if you're spiritually stagnating, you're not going to be sharing. By the way, the reverse is also true. Sharing your faith will grow your faith. Like if you start taking the time to challenge yourself and say, "I'm going to get outside my comfort zone and I'm going to tell other people about Jesus," it's going to grow your faith in ways that you can't believe. Because one, you're going to see God working in other people's life. Two, you're going to be challenged to go, "Man, I need to spend more time in God's Word because these people are asking me questions that I don't know the answer to." It's going to grow you just because you're being obedient, and obedience grows your faith and grows your walk with Jesus. So sharing is going to grow your faith. Philemon 1:6. Paul says, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." See that? Paul says, "I pray that you'll share your faith so that you will fully understand every good thing that God has given to us in Jesus Christ." It is through telling other people about Jesus that you grow in your understanding of what He has done for you. So one of the things that gets in the way is spiritual stagnation. So grow your faith. Second is growing inclusiveness and universalism. Okay, now those are two big words. So let me explain to you what they mean. Inclusiveness is the view that is incredibly common in our world today that all religions lead to God. All religions lead to God. And there are all of these different illustrations that are used to describe this viewpoint. One of the illustrations is, well, it's like God is at the top of a mountain, and there's all these different roads that go to the top of the mountain, but ultimately all the different roads lead to the top of the mountain, all the different roads lead to God. Or it's like the spokes on a wagon wheel. And so you've got a wagon wheel and God's in the center of the wheel and you've got all these different spokes that lead to God. And so it doesn't matter which spoke that you're on, they all lead to the center. They all lead to God. One of the old illustrations, the common illustrations, is it's like five blind men who are feeling an elephant. Okay, and one man feeling the tail and he says, "Well, an elephant's like a rope." And another man is feeling one of the legs, and he says, "No, you're wrong. An elephant is like a column or like a pillar." And another man's feeling the side of the elephant, and he says, "No, an elephant is like a wall." And another man's feeling the ear, and he says, no, an elephant is like a fan. Another man is feeling the trunk, and he says, no, an elephant is like a hose. And so that illustration says that's what religions are like. All religions are like all of these blind guys who are feeling the side of this elephant, or feeling this element and giving different understanding, but ultimately they are all feeling the same elephant. So from this perspective, Jesus can be found in other religions. And it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Well, let me give you one problem with that idea. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. I mean, you can with all your heart believe something and be wrong. The problem with all of those is Jesus and his claims to exclusivity. Listen, just as we were singing so many of these songs this morning about Jesus and about the cross and about what Jesus has done for us on the cross and how Jesus went to the tomb and Jesus rose from the dead, there's nothing like that in any other religion in all the world. There's nothing even close to God becoming a human being, taking on flesh, coming to earth, living a perfect life on our behalf, going to the cross to pay the price for our sin. Every other religion in the world is about what you have to do to earn God's favor. Christianity says you can't do anything. Jesus did it for you. That's why we're exclusive. Because there's nothing else like it. You can't find anything like Jesus in all the religions of the world. Jesus himself said, you can only come to the Father through him. He said, he's the only way. If you believe in inclusiveness, then you are committing spiritual adultery with Jesus. Because you're saying, hey, Jesus, he's nothing special. You can go any other route. You can go any other way. If you have an inclusiveness, though, if all religions lead to God, then that takes away from you the burden of sharing the one way that you can come to God. If you feel like everybody's okay, then there's no need to tell them about Jesus. The other thing is universalism, and it's a very similar belief. Universalism is the belief that everybody eventually gets to heaven. Everybody. Eventually get there. That God allows second chances, that God gives opportunities even after people die. Eventually everybody's going to wind up in heaven. Now, listen, I think if you asked us, we would say we don't believe that, but in practical experience, I think a lot of times we do. Go to the funeral of somebody who never darkened the door of a church, and you'll hear the preacher and you'll hear family members talk about, well, they're in a better place now. No, they're not. Look, universalism is this idea that everybody's going to heaven, and a lot of people operate in that attitude. Even people who claim to be Christians, they think, well, everybody's probably going to heaven. No, they're not. And universalism will keep us from sharing our faith with other people. Listen, if you believe either of those things, you won't be active in sharing your faith. People refusing to leave in the path of a hurricane are an example. Okay, listen, they got people telling them the hurricane's coming, the storm is coming, and they're like, nah, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I don't really think it's going to hit us. I don't really think it's going to hurt us, and so we're going to stay here. And so oftentimes in our life as believers, we think, it's not really that bad. It's not really as awful as the picture as we paint it in terms of people who don't believe in Jesus. And so as a result, we don't ever share with other people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said in the very first sermon after the birth of the church, the very first sermon he preached after the resurrection, he said, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter said, there's no other way. There is not salvation anywhere else. It is only in Jesus. That's why we've got to share. And if we have this attitude of inclusiveness and universalism, it's going to keep us from doing that. Third reason, closely related to this one, is a desire to be tolerant. desire to be tolerant. Maybe the prime virtue in our world today is tolerance. You believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe, and we won't try to convince each other of our beliefs, and we won't try to offend each other in terms of what we say and what we believe, and you think what you think, I'll think what I think. You have your truth, and I'll have my truth. You practice what you want to practice. You sleep with who you want to sleep with. You determine your own version of right and wrong. You define your own identity. You be you, and I'll be me, and you can never tell anyone that they are wrong, and let's just all get along, and let's all be tolerant. Listen, the problem when it comes to sharing your faith, oh, and by the way, if tolerance is the prime virtue in our society, then the cardinal sin in our society is to be intolerant, is to dare to tell someone else, no, you're wrong. To dare to say to someone else, that's not true. That's not right. That's not ethical. The cardinal sin in our world today is to be intolerant. And so maybe sometimes out of a fear of being intolerant or labeled as intolerant, we don't tell other people about Jesus. Because you see, when it comes to sharing your faith, the gospel is offensive. The Bible says that it is. The Bible knows that. It understands that. Now, why is it that the gospel is offensive? Well, one, the gospel doesn't say everybody is all right. In fact, the Bible says everybody is all wrong. The gospel says we're all broken. We're all messed up. We all, at our core, are fundamentally rebellious against God. That there's none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. The gospel says, no, we're not all right. We're all wrong. Romans 3, 4, Paul says, let God be true and every human being a liar. In other words, God is right and we're all wrong. And our only hope is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is one God, and God says, you can't have any other gods before me. He says he is a jealous God. That's not tolerant. That won't fly in our world today. The gospel talks about the offense of our sin against the holiness of God. The Bible says that we are all dead in our sins and that we are all, listen to this, deserving of the wrath of God. Now listen, you use that as a conversation starter, you may not make a lot of friends. That's offensive. That is intolerant to today's world. And if you are afraid of offending people, then you won't share your faith. Because the gospel is offensive. Because the gospel does have some elements of it that people aren't going to like to hear. And so that'll keep you from sharing your faith. Fourth reason why we don't share our faith is disbelief in hell. Listen, you want to talk about something offensive. I mean, when you get down to it, hell is very offensive. We believe that anyone who goes into eternity without trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of sins will spend eternity in hell. Now listen, we should not say that with joy in our hearts. That should be with absolute brokenness. That should be with absolute despair. We believe that hell is being forever separated from the presence of God and all the blessings that go with that, only to experience the wrath of God against sin for all eternity. We believe that hell is a place where people will spend eternity in the misery of their own selfishness and the ongoing degradation of their souls. We believe that the Bible teaches that hell is a place of darkness, of torment, of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Listen, the descriptions that the Bible gives of hell are the things of our worst nightmares. And I believe it's worse than that. Like I think the descriptions that the Bible is giving of hell is trying to stretch human language to attempt to describe to us something that is beyond our ability to understand how horrible it really is. Now, again, if there were one doctrine that I could just remove from the Bible, it'd be this one. Problem is, I don't get to do that. If I believe in the authority of God's word, if I believe in what the Bible teaches, oh, and by the way, if I take hell out of the Bible, then I lose something of my understanding of how holy God is and how sinful I am. So it may be unpalatable to us. We may not necessarily like it. We may not necessarily like to talk about it. And it may be so horrible that we may be tempted to stop believing in it or to not believe that God would actually send anybody there. It is a horrific reality to consider that anybody that you love would spend even a moment in hell. And yet, the answer for the horror of hell is not for us to act like it doesn't exist. The answer is to tell people about Jesus. The answer is to tell people that they don't have to spend eternity in hell. The answer is to tell people that there is a way, that God has provided a way to eternal life, a way to salvation, a way to forgiveness, that God Himself, that God is not a mean, awful God for sending people to hell, that God has said the door is open for all who would believe in Jesus Christ. Let me give you another time that God can work in your life. When people are fearful about death, it's a great time for you to talk to them about Jesus. And oh, by the way, regardless of what people say they believe, when you know what's going to happen when they die, when they come to the moment that life's coming to an end, when they come to a doctor's visit and they get a bad word, they are very open to talking about heaven and eternity. But disbelief in hell, if we don't really believe it, then we're not going to share the gospel. The fifth reason we may not share our faith may be one of the most common: busyness. We got too much going on. We got so many things to do, so many places to be, that we don't actually have time to develop relationships with other people, to take the time to get to know unchurched people, to get to know our neighbors, to invite people over for dinner, to actually take the time to hear somebody's problems, to notice the people that God is placing around us and in front of us and the opportunities that God is putting before us. You see, sharing your faith takes time. And by the way, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. Now, it does take investing in relationships, which takes time. But the actual sharing of your faith, I can do it in about 3 minutes' time. So that in and of itself does not take a long time. But you do have to carve out time to grow in relationships, to get to really know people. It takes paying attention to the moments that God is giving to us each day. It takes an awareness of the opportunities that God puts in front of us. And it takes a willingness to allow God to direct our steps and our schedules. It takes being intentional about dedicating some time in our lives to doing evangelism. Listen, do you know what you have time for in your life? The things that are priorities to you. If it's important, I promise you make time for it. If it matters, you carve out time for us. You say you don't have time, but how much time do you spend on social media each day? Like if you just track, like and you're like, oh, well, it's just, you know, a couple minutes here and a couple minutes there. Well, if you add all those couple of minutes up, how much time do you spend there? How much time do you spend in your favorite hobbies? Do you carve out a week out of the year? Do you carve out a couple of days? Do you carve out a few hours on the weekend? How much time do you spend doing your favorite hobby? How much extra time are you giving to your work? Well, I gotta succeed at work. I gotta make money. You're just telling me what's important in your life. Your priorities dictate what you spend time on. How much time are you going to movies or going out to eat or watching TV? What about this? How much time are you busy doing something that could also be time for sharing about Jesus? Here's what I mean. If you're waiting in line at the grocery store, you're like, I'm busy because I'm at the grocery store. Well, guess what? You can talk to somebody about Jesus when you're in line at the grocery store. You're like, I'm busy because I'm at work. Well, take the time to develop some relationships with some coworkers and use that as an opportunity to tell about Jesus. When you're sitting at a restaurant, when you're on your break at work, when you're at your kids' ball games, when you're eating dinner. I mean, there are all kinds of things that you're busy doing that in no way interfere with you telling somebody about Jesus. Like, because really the only thing that takes, you know, effort in you telling somebody about Jesus is moving your mouth, and chances are you're doing that anyways. So just make your conversations with people about faith, about life, about things that God's doing in your life. Work that into your schedule. Let me give you another time that God can use for sharing your faith. Interruptions. You ever have any interruptions in your daily schedule? Interruptions in your routine? Any interruptions in your life? If you look at the Gospels, almost every one of Jesus' miracles came as a result of an interruption. Like Jesus was going somewhere and, oh, there's this beggar screaming at him on the side of the road. Jesus is going somewhere else and there's this sick woman who reaches up out of the crowd and grabs the hem of his garment. Jesus is on the way on the Sea of Galilee and a storm arises at sea. There are all these instances where you look at the Gospels, that was not what Jesus had got up this morning and said, okay, on my to-do list today is this, 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 and this. It was from a human standpoint what would appear as an interruption. Hey, maybe interruptions in your life and in your schedule are times when God's going, hey, I need you right now. I need you, this person that you feel like is interrupting your workflow, this child that you feel like is an interruption in what you're trying to do, this task that has to get done that you feel like is an interruption, it's actually an opportunity that I'm giving you to share with somebody else, to connect with somebody. So busyness is one of the reasons. Sixth reason is a lack of confidence. Now I know that I said that three-fourths of us say that we feel confident in our ability to share the gospel. Despite the fact that the majority of us say that we are confident in our ability to share the gospel, the fact that we don't do it may be evidence that we don't really feel all that confident. Like we say we know how to do it, but if we don't do it, maybe we don't really. I think we overestimate our ability to do something that we never do. Okay, it's like those of us who do the armchair quarterback critique of a professional NFL quarterback, right? I mean, we got all sorts of advice and, you know, I mean, even sometimes throw out there, well, man, with a front line like that, I could throw the ball better than that. Could you really? Like, we overestimate our ability. We overestimate our confidence. Or, like, if you talk to most guys who are in their 30s and 40s who played high school football and they tell you how good they were in high school, it's a miracle they didn't make the NFL. I mean, man, they were great back in the day, you know? Well, maybe that's the way we are about our confidence and our ability to share the gospel. If you don't ever do it, are you really that confident in your ability? You really feel like you can do it? I think that's how we are in our confidence in sharing the gospel. You can say it all day, but if you don't ever do it, you aren't really all that confident. So how do you gain confidence? Three ways. Three ways you gain confidence. Number one, learn new skills. Like if you don't feel comfortable with what you know, if you don't feel comfortable with your ability, maybe you simply need to learn some new skills. Next time we have our peak number four class. Our peak number four class is about equipping you to share the gospel at home and overseas, wherever God sends you. So that's one of the ways that you can learn to do that. I did a message series in 2016 called By All Means. The podcast is still on the website this week on our social media, so you do need to check social media for that. I'll push out the link for that series. It's 8 sermons. And what we did in that series, by all means, was we each week looked at a different way for you to share the gospel. We taught you 8 different ways to share the gospel. I taught you how to use a personal testimony as a means of sharing the gospel. I taught you how to use a marked New Testament, so a Bible that's got some verses. And in that one, we went through this old method called the Romans Road that still works great, okay, as a way of sharing your faith with other people. I taught you how to use color bracelets, or really you can use these colors in a book or whatever, but you can use the colors of salvation to talk to people about Jesus. Talk to you about how to use your personal testimony. Talk to you about how to use a tract. Tracts still work if you don't feel good about your ability. We taught you a method that you can memorize to share the gospel. So 8 different ways that you can learn to share the gospel. So it may be that you just need to learn. But number 2, you got to get in practice reps. Okay? So the guys who are playing, Cowboys who are playing today, what did they do all week? They practiced. They ran through their game plan. They ran through, what are we going to do and how are we going to do this? Until they were comfortable with, if the quarterback calls this play, I know instantaneously what route I'm supposed to run. I know which direction I'm supposed to block. I know what I'm supposed to do because I've drilled, practice. Listen, if you're going to get comfortable sharing your faith, practice. Use the mirror. Use your spouse, use your kids, use a friend. Just practice doing it so that you get comfortable with it. And then the final way is do it. Do it. You're not going to get good at it until you do it. My grandfather taught me how to swim. You know how he did it? He threw me in the water and said, "Swim or drown." Now, he was standing right there, you know, to rescue me. But ultimately, he knew if you're going to learn how to swim, you got to get wet, right? You got to get in the water. If you're going to begin to share your faith, at some point, you got to do it. You just got to do it. And so what if you mess up? And so what if you don't do it great and you don't get everything right? Just do it. You know, to use Nike's slogan, get in the game in terms of telling other people about Jesus. Now, I think the 7th one is closely related to the 6th one, and that is a fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. Let me tell you one of the most terrifying, awful experiences in the world, and one of the most difficult to work up the courage to do is a teenage boy asking the cute girl to go out with him. Amen. Yeah, all the boys, all the men in the room are like, yes, it's awful. Because one, you got to work up the nerve. You got to, you know, and your friends are egging you on, and you know, you do the little talk to her friends and try to feel things out, and you know, I mean, that whole thing. But ultimately, there's this moment where you got to do that thing where you walk up to her and you ask her. And the most horrible thing in the world is the walk of shame back to your friends if she says no. It takes an immense amount of courage for a teenage boy to do that. Why? Because nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to get turned down. Nobody likes to be told no. And so we don't like experiences of sharing with other people because there's a good chance that they may reject us. They may turn us down. Number one, you got to keep in mind they aren't rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. It's not you that they're turning away. Number two, keep in mind, reluctance is not the same as rejection. Listen, if somebody says to you, "I don't know, I'm not sure," that's not rejection. That may just be, okay, I'm going to come back and talk to them in another few weeks or another month. Okay, because, listen, I don't know if you know this, but most of the time people don't become Christians instantaneously. It's like the first time they ever heard the gospel. Yes, I'll do it, okay? It takes some time. It takes some prayer. It takes ongoing relationship. So don't think reluctance and rejection are the same thing. Again, same thing with the teenage boy asking the girl out. Hey, you may ask 5 or 6 times before you finally get the yes. But you celebrate the win, right? You celebrate the yes. Okay? So you don't give up just because the first time they show some reluctance or they're not sure or they have questions and they're not ready to do that in that moment. Number 3, most people aren't resistant. Research shows that only 1 in 4 unchurched persons will be resistant to faith discussions. What that means is 75% are open. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to trust in Jesus, but it does mean they are willing to have a conversation with you about faith. They're willing to have a conversation with you about God, and they're not going to be like, "I'm never going to be your friend again because you tried to talk to me about God." So they're open to those kinds of conversations. So don't understand that as rejection. So last week I was in a restaurant down in Allen, and server comes up, and it's me and some other guys. Server comes up, and you know, he's taking our drink orders and everything, and he comes up to take our drink orders, and he doesn't give us his name, which I'm like, okay, you messed up. All right, but I said, hey, what's your name? And he said, Jesus. And I was like, hey, opportunity, all right? And so I said, Jesus, I said, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus? And he said, no. And I said, have you ever been to church? Which is, you know, I mean, Hispanic culture, most of them have some background in church. And he says, no, I've never really been to church. And I said, well, hey, man, I don't want to bother you right now. I know you're busy. I said, you can get our drinks and take our order. I said, but in a few minutes, I said, if you've got 3 minutes, I'd like just 3 minutes of your time. And so after the meal's over and, you know, he's coming back in, checking in on us. We've already taken care of the bill. I've already given a good tip, okay, because that's a bad testimony, by the way, all right. If you are going to pray for or share with your server, give a good tip. Don't give us a bad name by, you know, like, well, here's a dollar. Appreciate you. You know, all right. Give a good tip if you're going to do that. But anyway, so Jesus comes back to the table, said, Jesus, I said, do you have 3 minutes you could sit down? He says, all right, you sure? So he sits down, and I do my three-minute gospel presentation. Share the gospel with Jesus. We come to the end of it. I walk him through ABC, okay? What we teach the kids in Kids Cove in terms of how do you trust in Jesus, it's ABC. You admit that you are a sinner. You admit that you've rebelled against God. You believe in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for you. And then you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. So I walked through that with him. And I said, hey, Jesus, is that something that you feel like you would like to do? And he said, yeah, I think sometime I would like to do that. And I said, would you like to do that right now? And he said, well, he says, I don't think I'm quite ready. And I said, that's okay. I said, but I'm going to pray for you. I said, in fact, Jesus, I'm going to pray that this afternoon, you just take what we've talked about and you make that decision and you trust in Jesus. So he gets up and leaves. He comes back before we leave, and he says to me, he says, hey, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to tell me about that. He didn't trust in Jesus as far as I know that moment, but that's okay. Okay? He was given the gospel. He was given the information he needed. And what I got to do is trust that the Holy Spirit knows better than I do about how to get him across the finish line in terms of trusting in Jesus. But I present that opportunity. So don't be fearful of rejection. I mean, if a guy who's serving in a restaurant and just trying to make some money has the willingness to sit for 3 minutes to hear the gospel, most of the people in your life will too. So don't be fearful of rejection. All right, one last reason, and this is the one that I think troubles me the most. I think maybe one of the reasons that we don't share is apathy. Apathy. Could it be that we really do understand that we have a responsibility for sharing our faith? And that we feel confident in our ability to do so, and that we believe that Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead are the only way for anyone to be forgiven of their sins, to be made right with God, to spend eternity in heaven. That we truly believe that those who die apart from faith in Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. That we believe all those things, and we just don't care. We just don't care. That the reason that we don't bother building relationships with other people, the reason that we don't make time in our schedules, the reason that we don't reach out to others, the reason that we don't risk offending other people by talking to them about Jesus, the reason we don't get outside of our comfort zones to begin a spiritual conversation with people is that we don't care enough to do so. That we don't care enough about someone else created in God's image and about their eternity to tell them about Jesus. Listen, the most caring, the most loving, the most compassionate thing you could ever do for someone else is tell them about Jesus and about the life that is found in Him. And so Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor, and he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Listen, y'all, time is passing for people all around you. I mean, it is passing quickly. And for every single person that you know, they're either going to die or Jesus is coming back in their lifetime. And the only way for them to spend eternity in heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, I pray today that you would truly burden us. Not just the 75% of us who say that we understand that we have a personal, or the 80% of us who say we have a personal responsibility to share the gospel. And not just the 75% of us who say that we know how to do it, but burden us to where we put those two things into practice and actually open our mouths and tell somebody about Jesus. God, burden us with eternity. Burden us with the burden of hell. God, burden us with the burden of people all around us who don't know Jesus. And maybe we gotta get outside of ourselves and get outside of our comfort zones, and we gotta take the chance and listen to the Spirit and talk to somebody about Jesus and share the gospel. Father, I pray you'd move us to do that. God, I pray that we as a church, that we would be that kind of church, that we are a people who we readily and quickly and easily talk to people about Jesus. And so what if sometimes we don't get it right? And so what if sometimes we're embarrassed? And so what if sometimes they say no? It's all worth it. Because ultimately, Jesus, you are worth it. Jesus, don't let us treat the cross as if it didn't matter. Don't let us treat your death on the cross as if it's not worthwhile. And don't let us treat you like you aren't important enough to tell other people. God, move us to share. Move us to tell other people. Now, Father, today, maybe there's somebody here today and they heard the gospel today. They heard that they're sinners and they're broken, and that apart from Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell, separated from God and experiencing the wrath of God for their sin. But they also heard that Jesus Christ came to earth and died on a cross in our place to pay the price for our sin, and that he went to the grave and he overcame death and hell and the grave and the power of sin and the power of Satan when he rose from the grave, so that everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. So, Father, if there's somebody like that here today, they heard that gospel, God, I pray that today they would do ABC. They would, one, say, God, I admit that I am a sinner, that I have rebelled against you, and that I am deserving of the punishment for my sin. But, God, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place as a payment for my sins. And so, God, I ask you to save me and forgive me of my sins. I confess Jesus as the leader of my life. And so, God, as much as I know how, I trust in him and ask you to save me. God, thank you that that message still works today. And it's the only one that can save people for all eternity. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, and we're going to sing together. And as you sing, just again, ask yourself the question, who's my one? And am I willing to share Jesus with them? And what am I going to do to walk across the line and talk to them about Jesus? If you today said, I want to trust in Jesus Christ, we want you to take just a minute to fill out one of those blue cards. And on your way out the door, our ushers will be standing at the back door receiving the offering. Just place that card in there, letting us know about the fact that you said, I want to trust in Jesus today. All right, let's sing.